So, okay, we're back from recess. The KPFA, LSB, February 27th. What?
Can the person that has the money list put Scott down for $100?
Great. Thank you.
And also, Ramses is almost here. He's about to.
Okay. Well, when he's here, we'll say it. Okay.
I'll have him get that, his new address to me.
Okay. All right. Treasurer's report.
Okay, everybody, this is going to be, sadly, a different kind of report. And I have to say something about the work situation in the national office, because the national office contributes very important data to KPFA's being able to make a complete a financial report. And the national office, we spoke earlier about the new CFO, is really bearing down on the tasks of getting the audits up to date. These are totally crucial if we're going to get any money from the CPB ever eventually, and also very crucial to us being able to produce audited financial reports for the whole year. These affect other reporting that we do. And in any case, all of the payrolls from all of the stations and the archives go through the national office. So once our staff at the station prepares the payroll, turns it over to the national office. The national office gives them a general figure of what the payroll is going to be, and we transmit the funds. However, it's not me at all, but you know what I mean. The business manager transmits the funds. And then the information that's supposed to come back to the station has the calculations of everybody's individual pay, which they already kind of know that. But the totals for taxes, all the withholding, the union dues, and so on, are the exact figures that come from the national office. So those are not available, and our business manager would have all the other information she has and would be able to make a very incomplete financial report without the payroll stuff. And I think there's a couple of other things. If the stations are bearing expenses that the national office controls. So we've had an experience in the past of presenting an incomplete financial report. And to a board like this where you're not all financial people, then you don't, it isn't very useful. In fact, it's very hard for people to understand, and you can't do anything but wonder what the heck is going on if we can't get financial reports. So I'm here to tell you, we could have a financial report from our business manager, but it would be incomplete without information from the national office. And so we're not going to have the report like we had last time, the first quarter. It would have been the first 4 months. And however, we must all keep in mind that the new chief financial officer has very dedicated approach to the job, and he's stepping in where there was a lot of chaos and difficulty, and I hope this CFO can stick it out and help us get out of this long-term problem of managing this outfit. We are the station, in spite of everything that you hear, that's, as far as the record keeping goes, that is in the best shape. And if you were to listen in to the National Finance Committee meetings, which are, in fact, streamed live, and you can do that, you would, if you're really interested in the finances, you would hear a lot about what is going on and how the stations are attempting to cope, how the CFO is attempting to bring us up to date. So, that being said, I asked for, you know, the report we sent around last time that was about the fund drive and had the now debated subject of fulfillment rate in it. I asked for a report mid-fund drive, for the fund drive that we're in right now, so that people can compare how you can learn a little more about how this is used. Now, these reports are, it's true, the public can see them, we can see them, but they're not the kind of report that's used as a financial report is, you know, published as a statement of, complete statement of the finances of the entity. This is a tool that is used by management to understand where the funds are going, what kinds of donations are coming in, and it helps them manage and plan for how they conduct fund drives, the business about premiums. Last time we, I think it was Jose Luis brought up the fact in our financial statement, we were over budget on certain things that actually had to do with the fact that we were having more and more people paying immediately, not spreading their payments out, and even those who are spreading their payments out, more and more people are using credit cards and debit cards, and this shoots our expenses up higher for processing these payments. And when we make a budget is not a contract, it's a plan. We make a budget. There's a lot of work that goes into making the budget, and it is the work is based on researching, keeping track of the years past. They make projections about, well, it looks like this kind of item is going up in expense, and this is about how much. And so these are some of the ways to look at the funds. I'm going to pass this out, and then I'll talk about the budget schedule and process a little. I don't have here, why don't you do this?
So this is the fund drive?
This is the fund, this is the current fund drive midstream. You'll see at the top the date that Chris Stelic ran the report, not the handwritten date, that's just the month that, this is his redoing, up-to-date of the fund drive that ended in December. I have two things here. Oops, sorry. Here, can you help me get this out of here? I can't get this out of here. Okay. Sorry, I'm giving you two. So the one I just first passed out is a redoing of the one you had last month. And if any of you kept your copies, you could compare them. But it's the same fund drive, but it's run at a different date. And so there is a little more information in this one that's got December 2015 written at the top than there was last time. And I do have a few copies with me of the one you had last time that if somebody wants to look at them, you'll just see figures change a little as time goes by and the different payments that come in are entered into the database. All right, now here's the one I first was talking about, and it's got a lot of stuff written across the top, and it's the fund drive that we're in the middle of. So, you'll see in the column, in the middle, that's sort of the middle of the page.
Of which one are we?
Well, either one of them in the middle of the page at the headings at the top, where it's right under the words dollar amounts, and then right under that is difference, which is actually relates to the two columns just before it, but then there's a rate. And this is the fulfillment rate. This is the thing that changes as time goes by and money comes in for the various categories of what people are donating. And it varies a lot from one type of payment and another. I know that some people have been questioning whether this is accurate, and this is a tool, and I have a hard time trying to figure out how to explain the fact that it is a useful tool. It's accurate for when the staff looks at it and they go back to checking all the things that they check about the data they enter, but I don't know if somebody wants to ask a question that is a way that you're looking at this problem of whether or not these things are accurate. We could talk about it for a few minutes like that. Okay, David.
You've got to have the microphone.
Does the rate get better over time?
That's what happens as more and more money comes in.
Okay.
When the pledges, there's pledge, doesn't mean we've got cash. When the cash comes in, the amount of pledge still open goes down, and the fulfillment rate goes up.
Okay, so we really don't know what the fulfillment rate is until much later,
yes,
the very end.
And it even gets a little confusing because when somebody, say, pledges something 3 fund drives ago, but they finally send it in the middle of the December fund drive or in the middle of the February fund drive, it goes into the data, and it will be whatever category it was that person donated in, how much money. It still affects the – now, that isn't people sending in things that are 3 fund drives old. Doesn't happen a lot. But it does happen, and that's what happens with this database. Margie?
There are several ways to look at this. One is that many times people pledge an amount and then agree to have it charged to their credit card over a year. And so we have a pledged amount, and then it isn't fully fulfilled until the end of the
12 months. Yeah.
People pledge, call in and pledge and ask to be billed. This is one of the things we do. We send them a form and they write a check and they mail it back in.
Or they can use a credit card.
I'm talking now.
I'm sorry. I'm just reminding about the credit card fee we pay.
Anyway, the point is that they, you know, however they choose to pay it, it doesn't become fully fulfilled until the till all of the payments are made. Okay, that's the idea. Mm-hmm. And so the fulfillment rate is a constantly moving target.
Bill, I'm just going around the room.
I'm just looking at the.
Why does it go off?
Oh,
all
my
the
goodness!
Time?
Oh, terrible.
Isn't this very loud, Frank?
Yeah, we can turn the levels down.
I could move away from it.
I could turn down the one. I had it up a little bit loud in here.
So I'm looking at the premiums requested line.
Which page are you on, the December one or the February one?
I'm actually on the February one.
Okay.
But the same question I would have probably for the other.
Yeah.
It seems like.
Which line?
The premiums requested.
Uh-huh.
And that's $232,000 and change.
Yep.
Well, that seems like more money than we're collecting. So, I mean, what does that line mean?
That line means people who pledged that amount of money requested some premium. Oh. It's not the cost of the premium. It's the amount of money pledged who requested a premium. And the one below that is the amount of money pledged without requesting a premium.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got it.
Who is next? Janet?
Yeah, so for both, I don't see the goal on either of these. Is
the
there?
Goal?
Well, the fund drive goal,
uh-huh.
And this is what, you know. So can you tell us what the fund drive goal for the February fund drive?
590?
And then for the December one, what was it?
Well, I don't remember what that was. And this isn't a page where it would normally be there.
Well, but it's this is
there are other places
that 480, yeah 480. Thank you. It would be
the fulfillment rate. If you're thinking about whether or not we're fulfilling our goal, that is important, but that is not what is meant on this page. This page means the amount pledged, what was fulfilled. Sharon?
I understand, and thank you for that explanation about the fulfillment rate.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand completely that it's a moving target and that the number will change as mm-hmm. the pledges come in. Just looking at the December 2015 one, I do see, of course, that there's a dollar amount fulfillment rate, which I understand to be the fulfillment in the number of dollars, so there's 79.
On the first line you're
yes,
looking
at? Yes, 79.2% is the fulfillment rate in dollars. And I also understand that you track the number of pledges, and then you track the number of pledges that are fulfilled, and that's the number of 90.5%. So I understand that more people that pledged, okay, 90%
right.
of those did it. But when you look at the dollars, it was basically 79.2%
right.
is the dollars that have come in to date. Okay, I understand that. Question is, or my comment, it's really a comment, because I just think money is important for where we're at this station. I also know that we used a number of 85, or I believe it was 90% fulfillment rate in our budget. Our budget planning for 2016. So my point is, okay, I understand it's a moving target, but when you put down a solid number in the budget, you know, that has certain assumptions with it. So, and I recall the number being 90%, which of course is the number of pledges that were fulfilled, but I do believe we should be using the number of dollars in our budget.
Well,
I'm done.
Okay, is this on?
Did it go
yeah.
on?
It sounds.
I think you
oh, you
it
turned
down.
It down. I feel like it's not on. All right, there we go. The in the budget, it's a conglomeration of all the fund drives. It's not, and the ultimate that we achieve in the fund drives. And yeah, and in fact, more than 1 year even, because they do it, they go by the history of a particular line item in the budget, how the actuals turned out over time.
Okay, but you're using the dollars, not the...
I'm not. This is the system.
But the system is using the dollars, not the number of pledges. Okay. That's what's happening. They're using the dollar.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Sasha, not in the financial budget. Statements in the budget.
So I'm just looking at this by purpose.
Which one? And which or
I'm
does
just
it make,
I'm looking at
federal, general?
But it doesn't really matter. I'm looking at by purpose, and it says acquisitions, renewals, rejoins, additional
uh-huh.
gifts, and other. And I'm not understanding what that is.
Acquisitions is brand new contributors.
And renewals and rejoins are what?
Well, people who've donated before, and I don't know the difference okay. between renewals and rejoins.
Renewals
I
are.
I think it has to do with the period.
Renewals are. That they renewed from the year before. Rejoinders are they?
There was
they
a lapse
some other time.
Okay, right.
And then additional gifts are
people who donate more than once in a fund drive.
I see. Okay. Good.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Tim.
So, I guess my basic question is, after all this discussion here and elsewhere of the 90% number, are you comfortable that 90% is an accurate number at the end of the year?
I think that it is a fine number for the people who prepare our budget mm-hmm. and have to put figures in to it mm-hmm. to use.
So historically... You're comfortable with it.
Yes.
Okay.
And we could say a little more about the budget process, but let's finish with these questions. Yes, Madam Chair.
May I have this? For the record, I want to note that Ramses has arrived. I want to say something, but Tim, you just raised a question that I think that the number is not determined by somebody figuring it out, you know, kind of, is this about right? And I think it's a determined number by an algorithm or a statistic. It has a formula based on past stuff that determines what it is.
My question was somewhat rhetorical because I believe that the person who's been challenging this knows that
okay.
and is manipulating the figures for
okay.
political reasons.
Okay. Okay. My thing, I wanted to say two things about, ask a question and then say something that had struck me previously and what I found out. I found out talking with Brian about premiums at one point. I was astonished about how much the premiums cost, and I was having the conversation with him and a guy who is an expert in all of this, who we were trying to hit up for money, and he actually said that our premium cost is lower than is customary. So, I don't remember what exactly the figures were, but it was very reassuring because when I first saw it, I was like, But anyway, and the second thing is, am I correct that in terms of fulfillment rate, when you're using cards, that because there's the fees, you'll never get 100% fulfillment rate because the fees come out of our end, not the contributors' end. Is that right?
No, it is that the fees are an item in our financial statements. They're a cost, just like the telephone and the electricity bill. We don't take somebody's money and then reduce what we get from them by the amount that we have to pay the bank to process it. We don't connect it like that.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
On this side, I just want to say there are always some credit cards that fail, either because the person gave you a bad number or because the number was written down incorrectly. There are always some checks that bounce. That's just the way it works.
It's the cost of doing business.
Exactly.
Okay. Any more questions on this kind of thing? Yes, Bill. All right. Well, David, what was your question?
I was going to ask, is this what MemSys is about? When you guys mentioned MemSys.
They use MemSys for this, yes. Okay.
Well, I just have a question about something else. Can we go to something else or not?
Is it
money
yes.
related?
Let's see.
It's about money. Okay, here's the question. So let's say a bequest comes in to KPFA, mm-hmm. not to Pacifica.
Mm-hmm.
Does that money get placed into a bank account that's controlled by KPFA?
Yes, but the donor would not get the same. Well, it depends on how much the money is. But if a really large donation came in and they wanted to have tax credit for their estate, it really has to be paid. Written to Pacifica. However, it can be described as to be used by KPFA.
All right, but then the follow-up question on that is, even if it's described as it's to be used by KPFA, can Pacifica take that money if it needs it and use it someplace else?
That has happened.
So
I'm not comfortable getting into this topic right here.
Okay.
I mean, I'd like to talk about it sometime, but we were going to talk next about the budget schedule.
Okay. All right, then.
And I really think that the LSB needs to know what's coming up with the budget schedule. And the budget schedule actually is something that I kept in mind when I proposed the calendar of meetings that I proposed. So I don't know if we're ready to. I think if I start telling you a little, I'm only going to tell you a little bit about the budget schedule today because I don't have it with me, but I didn't know that it was going to be, the question was going to come up today. But I can tell you that March is the month in which the staff starts working on this big process of drawing up the budget. And typically, the last 5 years that I've been the treasurer, the first meeting of the business managers and the CFO and the treasurers, this is outside of finance committee meetings, about the budget and the starting of the process of the budget is the very end of March. So that for those of you who are new to this, you will start hearing these words a lot. There is something called the template. And the template is a multi-page document in the computer that has lots of formulas in it that relates various parts of the budget to other parts of the budget. For instance, if you have a certain number of employees, then the amount of tax automatically gets calculated by this template to have these figures put into the budget. There are other things that are related. For instance, we were talking about the fund drive. The amount of money calculated that is expected to be paid as bank fees as I've said earlier, from history. And there are years of history in the template, and it is related to the amount of listener support that comes in. There are just many, many interconnections. And there's been talk also of changing this system because it is very convoluted, and when there is some problem with this template, the coordination of the budget, overall budget for the whole network, it can really take a long time to get straightened out. And in any case, I encourage any of you who are interested in finding out more about this. The way we have operated in the past is that we have ad hoc committee meetings. We don't have an ongoing finance committee in the station. I feel that it has worked. It works better the way we do it, and that is that the staff gets a certain amount of work done, and then we have a meeting where people can come and review what's the interim stage of the budget at a certain point. We generally have three meetings like that. I try to have it at different times, day and evening and so on. And then ultimately the budget is presented to the LSB, and the whole group reviews it. And then we have a vote. Now, just to say something about the calendar that I proposed, if I'm not mistaken, the bylaws say we must meet on November, December, January, February. Isn't that right, Margie? I believe so.
I think it's just December.
Okay, well, in any case, I exempted March as one of the months because that we wouldn't need to meet because the staff would be working on the next year's new, you know, beginning the work for the new budget. I also eliminated October because it is the first month of the new fiscal year. And it just seemed to me that, of course, the finance people are keeping track of this kind of stuff, but it was one month where we could be without a financial statement. There's always a lot of activity to wind up the fiscal year at September 30th, and there would be the finance committee has many, many meetings, more than just twice a month as the fiscal year goes on.
I'm sorry, point of information?
Yes.
Are we talking about the LSB meeting schedule now? Or
no, we're easing into it. Okay. I'm through talking about the budget process. That's just, unless people, if maybe there are questions about the budget process.
Over here?
Yes, Markey.
I think it's important that people keep in mind that there are certain aspects of the budget that this body is dependent on information from the national office. So, for example, mm-hmm. What we will have to pay in central services. In the central services is the amount of money that that each station pays to the national office to fund the salaries in the national office and to pay for things like insurance and the audit and various things that are done in the national office on behalf of all of the stations. In the past, up until 2 years ago, the way central services were paid was that after each fund drive, every station was assessed what was determined to be, well, it sort of depends on what station you are, somewhere between 17.5% and 19.5%. For example, KPFK provides the real estate for the Pacifica Archives, so they pay a lower rate. But between 17.5% and 19%, that was always a matter of dispute and argument between the national office and the stations. Raul Salvador developed this process where he averaged, when he was a CFO, he averaged listener support over a four-year period, so the previous 4 years, and then determined what central service payments would be made going forward. We need that information from the national office in order to determine what our budget is, because that's a figure that's set by somebody else, not by us. And there are other things that we have to we depend on the national office for in order to start the budget process. But I wanted to say that Barbara talked about ad hoc committee meetings, but 1 year we did something which I thought was really helpful, and I think it should be done like in June, May or June, where we had I guess it was a workshop, I don't remember. It was at the South Branch Library, where we talked about budget priorities, and members of the LSB got to weigh in on what they thought budget priorities should be, and that was part of the budgeting process, and that informed how we looked at the proposed budget and what we voted on to be in the budget finally. So I would like us to consider that again.
I think that was a very good meeting. Yeah. A lot of people attended that meeting. Okay. Sharon.
Thank you. Couple questions. I understand that payroll and central services, the amount that we pay central services and the amount of our payroll are numbers that we need to get from the national office to finalize the budget. But it seems to me, perhaps I'm wrong, okay, but it seems to me that it should be within some realm of, knowledge, because if we're averaging, for example, with central services, if we're averaging something over 4 years, okay, it's an average, so each year, three of the past 4 years will be included, so it's not going to change dramatically. So, for budgeting purposes, I think we could have a budget that, stated an estimated central services payment, for example, based on, prior payments. And likewise, I'm not sure why the payroll, just don't fully comprehend it, but it seems like we should be able to do the same thing with payroll, have it estimated. Let me finish my question, okay? Stating my premises. And what I really am trying to get at here is I really still would like to see monthly, every month, a full budget, because even though I understand that those numbers may not be set, I get that. If we have some estimate, I think we can understand they're an estimate. I can, and it would be very, very helpful for me to see the financial position every month at every board meeting.
It's not uncommon, but you have confused the budget with the financial statement. They are two very separate things. We do refer to the budget when we make financial statements throughout the fiscal year, because each month we're comparing what we estimated was going to be, and that's the budget. And then we have a column next to it called the actuals, what actually happened. But what I was talking about earlier, or just most recently, was preparing the budget for the next fiscal year. So And the business of not having the financial information about payroll was relating to having a financial statement for this month.
Right, that's my point. I get that there's probably some variation, but all I'm trying to say is we could
have monthly. I understand.
Monthly.
I got that point.
Okay.
I'm just saying when you say you were talking about the budget and the financial statement all together.
Yes, I was really referring to the financial statements.
Yes.
I wasn't talking about the budget.
Okay, and that is, people do call it the budget sometimes when really it's a financial statement.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, now, Craig?
Are you going to respond to her?
She wants a financial statement.
Well, I told you why we don't have a financial statement.
Can I say something?
Yes. Historically, what happened was a different position was taken at another
time when something similar happened, where we couldn't get the numbers, and so she brought a financial statement, and then people reacted and said, "Well, what is this?" You know. So in response to that, she didn't bring a financial statement this time, saying that because I didn't have the numbers, I didn't bring this fine. So I think in some sense, it's either way she goes, she got criticized. But I think what we would, what you're saying is you'd like to see it, that this board at least is in your, expressing your position on this board is you'd rather see it understanding it's incomplete and you would understand the truth of that.
100%.
Okay. And the she that...
Don't do that.
I don't prepare it. It's not me that didn't prepare it. It's our business manager. And, you know, so we'll consider next time if we have to do this. I just hope there will be a great deal of understanding that it would be an incomplete picture. Okay, Craig.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's been a case of people wanting it both ways. So,
of course.
But looking ahead at the budget for that we need to develop this year, I don't know if a meeting has been scheduled at the end of March, but I was going to ask if station management has their priorities, the things they would like to incorporate into the budget. I guess I would ask if we could just ask them what they are. You know, what are the things they're looking forward to accomplishing this year in the budget, just so we can start thinking about it. I'm sure we could all brainstorm and come up with a fabulous list of improvements, but I'd be curious to hear what their initial thoughts are. So, in other words, on the early side, rather than waiting until May or June, July, something like that. Yeah, let's just ask.
We can ask about that, and I have to caution you that there's very little in the budget that's discretionary. I mean, the work that they do is figuring on costs that we know we have. So as far as, you know, new things, there's very, very...
Salesforce.
Yeah, people, every year we say we need a development director, but we have, you know, yet to be able to have the funds to add a position like that. Janet.
So I think there was some reference to the finance committee or how it kind of works, how you work with it.
How we have financial meetings at budget time.
Right. And so I have been wanting this body to form a finance committee of this body. And one of the reasons is because what I'm hearing or what I've been experiencing is the budget has been driven primarily by staff and management, and there needs to be more listener input. And finance committees, I mean, the only listener input comes from when the budget comes here to the LSB, and there are some listener reps on this committee. On this, LSB is the committee. But other, I would want to see more input from listeners on a finance committee. And other stations have a finance committee, have finance committees. All the other stations have finance committees that meet regularly that include listeners from not just LSB members. So anyway, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Carol.
All of the other stations are crashing and burning financially. And I think that part of the reason may be that they're spiraling down the drain, and I don't think they're being saved as a result of lots of committees arguing about the budget. That's just all my sense.
And another thing is the budget is actually in the job descriptions for the business manager and the general manager. And it isn't our place to make up the budget, but it is our place to weigh in.
Oh, I just wanted, because I had item 15, which is now going to be part of this, I just wanted to ask the question because when I was reading the bylaws, I see that the LSB, is supposed to prepare quarterly reports. And so do we do that, or what is the procedure for doing that?
Is that really what the words say?
Yes.
The quarterly reports are supposed to be transmitted to the PNB.
Exactly.
And our representative on the Finance Committee, who's a PNB member, Brian, has submitted our quarterly report to the PNB, the one that you got in the last meeting.
So that is that's what I'm trying to clarify, because
mechanism is through the Finance Committee, because the Finance Committee is made up of the treasurer and one PNB member from each station.
Okay, but I'm reading the bylaws, and it says that this body right here, is, quote, to review and approve the station's budget and make quarterly reports to the foundation's board. So we are supposed to be making the report. So
I think we're doing it through our PNB rep the way it's happening.
Okay. So I would like to just suggest, this is what my suggestion is, for the next quarterly report, if we can maybe put it on the agenda for us to approve it and then submit it when that comes up again.
When we review them, then we'll add the step of approving, because we didn't approve, but we review all the statements that we get, all the financial statements.
Yes.
I actually was having that conversation with Brian about this, and he told me that that the rest of the stations are really in such a mess, and that getting one report is just, it's not helpful or meaningful all by itself, and that really what they need is something that's put together of everything to see the big picture, since it's consolidated as you know. So he got the report, took the report, and so on, but it's true we didn't. But if we do it, in some sense, unless we really start looking at the bigger picture and the bigger issues that are happen about Pacifica and so on, it's something that we're, you know, a checklist. Okay, we did that. That's in the bylaws. Check. But it's really not. It's not helpful. It's not meaningful right now. But you know, cool.
We've done our part.
Exactly. Okay. I think Tim, are you? Okay, Jose Luis.
So I just wanted to follow up, but I think on what Sharon is talking about, I think it would be useful for us to review it in case we need to do adjustments on a quarterly basis, depending on how the station is doing with its cash flow, and getting input from Quincy on what's happening at these meetings that the general managers are having, and what types of money we might expect that they're going to snatch from us. That way it would give us more stability, knowing that they're going to snatch $50,000 for the audit this coming in these next 3 months, and then we can adjust accordingly, or have our PMB reps raise the issue up at the PMB so it doesn't happen. But we need that information so we can have that discussion on a quarterly basis.
Okay. Noted. Bill.
I thought what happened is this. We're supposed to be getting these monthly financial reports, and after you get three of them together, you've got a quarterly report, right?
It's cumulative. If the first month, you would have a 1 month. The second month, it would be two. Third month, three,
so
and that's the quarter.
So as long as we're getting the monthly reports, then we know what's going on, and then when we get to the third report, then we've got a quarterly report. So we're really actually, as long as they're being given to us, we're actually approving this, you know, month by month.
Well, we haven't had a formal approval,
right,
but we've been reported to as well as we can.
And
they have been transmitted. We've done our part, sending it to the PNB. Whether the PNB is in shape to really use that information, that's another issue.
The point is, we reviewed last meeting. There was an extensive review of that quarterly report by the board.
Mm-hmm.
There were many questions were asked about it.
Yes.
I mean, that's a review.
That's the way it happens. Yeah. Okay. Maybe we've exhausted this. Oh. Yes?
I guess the question, I keep seeing this, maybe I'm hallucinating, and as deadheads are wont to do, but I keep seeing an elephant in the room, and that elephant is Pacifica able to survive for this? What is the, are we going to, do we, how many quarters do we have?
We can't answer that here. That's why. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the elephant's there is just not to be talked about yet. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we're on the calendars, and our dear vice chair has arrived and has texted me that fourth Saturdays are no good for him. So I think we have a few different questions. The first question is, are we meeting every month? And I'd like to just kind of facilitate this discussion rather than, you know, snap it along, since I snooze through financial discussion. Okay. How many people feel that we should meet every month?
Sure. 11
months. Okay, 11 months. How many people feel that we should meet 11 months?
Brand new.
Three. All right, four?
No.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, no, I'm going down. Okay. Okay. 11. I'm doing a straw poll, okay? Just to, you know.
I don't know how many numbers. What number is
you've got to talk into there. We're setting a calendar for the year.
My question is,
don't wait until you're on there.
My question is, how can I vote if I don't know what's going on? I mean, I could say I think six meetings a year are fine, and then next month I find out we're going down the tubes financially. Clearly, we have to meet twice a month. I mean, I can't, you know, we're in a very precarious state right now. I don't know how you answer that question.
How about weekly?
No.
Margie.
Okay.
Come on. Go ahead.
The bylaws say we have to meet at least 9 months, nine times in a year. Two of those are mandated, December and January.
Right.
It is easy for an LSB to set up an emergency meeting. It is not complicated. It requires a week's notice, I think, or maybe 10 days' notice. The officers can call it. So if there's a problem, we can have a meeting on relatively short notice. We met 10 times last year. Am I right about that? It was either 9 or 10. 10. It was fine. And, you know, the problem is, you know, my experience with these meetings is that we have a lot of business, but on the one hand, on the other hand, we also tend to fill up the time available, whether or not it's necessary. And so I think we should, what I think we should do is make a schedule for 9 meetings for the year. We've already had 2, so for 7 more. And then with the understanding that if there's a problem, we can have a meeting on relatively short notice, okay? That's my thing. So I'm from meeting.
So is that a motion?
I'm not making a motion.
Okay, we're just discussing. Cool.
All right. Okay. I'll make a motion that we schedule 7 more meetings for this year, between now and the month of December. We know we have to meet in December because it's mandated by the bylaws. That's my motion.
Okay. Now, before we get into a long list of everybody speaking on this, can I do a straw poll and see, just on inclination, how many people think that's enough meetings?
Yes, thank God. Oh, my God. I think it's 7. So thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay. So that informs where we're going here. So, all right. Who wants to talk on this?
So let me see if I have done the math correctly. We've met twice so far this year. We would meet in December, so that's three, plus seven more for a total of 10, right?
No.
For,
no.
Six more. Okay. Okay. Well, so, to me it seems like, I don't know if it's premature to talk about the dates of these meetings, but that's kind of the issue here. Is it premature? Okay, then I will raise this when we get to that point. Okay? Months.
Rich, did you? Oh, you're scratching your head. the lovely Barbara's voice that helps us relax.
Right. Well, I know we don't want to talk about specific day months or which ones. Months. Months. My choice, as I said earlier, of months sort of fit the schedule that I know the staff goes through for preparing the budget and the initial statement, the finance statements for the fiscal year. But, and also, the fourth Saturday was to make it possible to have timely finance reports. So, just a minute. So, no. If we don't have a schedule that makes it possible to have a statement from the just previous month, then we're going to have to be satisfied with having two-month-old statements. That's the way it will be the best for the business office to prepare our financial reports for us. I'm fine with that. People want to have more timely information. But now we've settled on the fact that having later in the month is not good for enough people's schedules. But I just want to remind you that that's the effect. And I'm not saying that I want to have it one way or the other.
The topic was what months? Yes, okay. So you're saying that... we can't do fourth Saturday, so Now I'm talking. So we'll do first Saturday, and we will get not the month that's just before that, but we'll get the month just before that. Yes, okay. So that in mind as a possibility, so that we actually, every time we meet, we'll have a finance report. And we will understand what month it is, that it's delayed slightly because we're in the first week. What is your suggested months for meeting?
The same ones that I proposed before. It's on the back of the big calendar. Here's the ones that I propose we don't meet. March, June, and October. Those are the ones I proposed that we do not meet.
And does this hold even given the fact that we're doing, we are likely to have it on the first Saturday?
No. July 1st Saturday.
For me.
Okay. All right. I'll stop hogging things. Sharon and then Joy.
I like the idea of first Saturday. I think that's a good compromise. I was just going through it and noticing that the first Saturday in July would be the July 4th weekend. But, I mean, other than that, I like the concept.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Joy.
I, too, have a conflict on the first Saturday. So I'm not the vice chair. Okay. But first Saturday is difficult. And I think it would be for a lot of people personally, but I would like to speak to the fact that we only have 10 meetings a year. I love it.
Nine.
So we're mandated. I heard earlier from Margie, and this is point of information, that we're mandated for December, but what about October? Are we mandated for October or we don't? So I see here you got us meeting in August. August is not a great month for people meeting because a lot of people are out of town anyway. So I would like to suggest on Margie's list that that June meeting turns to August. So we wouldn't have a meeting in August. And then I really strongly don't care about any other Saturday, but the first Saturday I think is not good.
First Saturdays of the month are fine with me. I agree about the June versus August meeting, and assuming we do decide on the first Saturday, and I know some people will not be able to make it, but we could get the financial statements via email the week before.
Yeah, right.
And then, so anyway, that's
all right. Let's focus on which Saturday. Let's break this up. Okay. How many people? Is there a reason why we can't have it on the second Saturday? All of us are accustomed to and thought it was going to be on the second Saturday. We could go on the second Saturday, and we could understand that we're getting the financial, not from the previous month, but the month before that, so that it's a six-week lag. We agree to that. It's understood, period. Is that, how does that strike people?
Sounds good. I'm for
okay,
that.
Everybody for that. Okay.
Second Saturday.
Good. Good. Okay, second Saturday. All right. And with an understanding that it's not going to be like whenever we meet next, it's not going to be the month before, but the month before. Yes, Kent, you want to talk about the second Saturday, or you want to talk about months?
In April, that's the 16th.
I'm just wondering, Barbara, can you refresh our memories about when budgets are due to the PNB? Because, as I recall, in previous years, it's been important to meet in August because, you know, deadlines are looming. But also, in this year or last year, you know, the budget wasn't approved by the deadline, and so we wound up reviewing it in October, as I recall. So, you know, does that mean we should, you know, anticipate an October meeting, too? So,
no.
Yeah. Really? Josephina? August is the month in which we should be approving our budget.
I never do.
And it is true, and
We're not here.
However, yes, then we do end up doing it in September, but the schedule tries to aim for having August so that it's not all piling on the PNB in September. So I think the chair of the Finance Committee, if he was here, would say that we shouldn't be planning to be late and that we should have the meeting in August to approve the budget. And I think that we can take a deep breath and let things slide in October. That's the way I see it for the budget process.
It's been true that what's happened is that July and August, on the times that we canceled July and August, we ended up had called the meetings anyway because we were kind of like trying to get the budget stuff. But somebody raised the question of switching June and July.
June and August.
June and August. So we would be meeting April, May, June,
July.
That's pretty like, oh, God, do I have to go there? Is it already the second Saturday? Go ahead.
I think we should meet. We should plan a meeting in August. I know, but we had, I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, but we barely made quorum at one year at a July meeting because
so many people were on vacation. So, you know, both July and August are difficult months in terms of vacation schedules. But I think we should not have a meeting in June, have a meeting in August. That's so. And can I make a motion?
Yeah.
Okay, my motion is that we meet April, May, July, August, September, November, and December on the second Saturday.
Except in the holiday.
No, the second Saturday is the 9th.
Oh, it's fine. Okay.
It's fine.
Okay.
Second. Thank you.
On discussion. How about a vote? It's here.
It's the second Saturday instead of the third Saturday.
Right, and that's
and
the
so
date.
It's April, May, July, August, September, November, December. And I'll point out that Barbara Whipperman is voting to meet on her birthday, which is May 14th.
How old will she be? Joy.
I would just like to suggest that the same dose of reality we use on the budget, we use it on the meetings in August. Because even though y'all sitting here saying we're going to schedule a meeting, we've scheduled them and we still don't do the damn work until September and October. So I don't mind if that's you want to schedule. I probably won't be here, but I think it's better that we be more realistic. Yes, you can set a higher expectation. But as Margie pointed out at the very beginning, if we need a meeting, we can set a meeting. I would rather it the other way around than – I hate looking ahead of the calendar. Now I got to be here. I just want to be honest with that.
Can I – I know this is personal, but what –
I'm not going to share what I got to do.
No, but is there – well, can I ask what other Saturday in August or are you gone all Saturdays?
No, I'm just saying – in August. I'm not, it's not about the Saturday.
Janet.
Give Janet a mic.
Okay, so I have the actual days of each of these months that are the second Saturday. So it's April 9th, May 14th, July 9th, August 13th, September 10th, November 12th, and December 10th. And I want to make a comment about two of them. One is the November one, and I believe that weekend is Veterans Day weekend. Is that? Right. So that's a three. That would be a three-day weekend. And then the other has to do with December. December 10th. Remember, there's going to be another LSB election this year. So the seating of the new board would have to be in December, and probably December 10th is a little early. Well, given the track record. So I just wanted to bring that up, that might need to change. Or anyway.
Okay, so are you amending the December meeting for the 17th, and are you making another date for if you get into changing the...
November meeting, maybe you're going into Thanksgiving, but I don't know, maybe
no,
not.
19th.
Okay.
That would be the third Saturday that month.
Okay.
And the third Saturday in December.
Okay. So you're amending the motion.
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'm fine with that.
Okay. Is everybody else fine with that? Is everybody... Let's vote on the amended motion. That's the April 9th, May 14th, July 9th, August 13th, September 10th, November 19th, December 17th. All right, do you want to speak or vote?
Speak.
Speak. Oh, great. Give him a mic. Here, Samsara, can you pass him a mic? Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to suggest another option since there's...
So you're speaking against the amendment.
Well, I guess I'm speaking with another amendment.
Okay.
And that would be since, you know, in some years the budget process runs late and there might be a case for meeting in October, but surely it won't run so terribly late that we'd have to meet in November. So, but if we meet in October and don't meet in November.
So there is a motion
to substitute October for November. Is that correct?
That's right.
Is there a second? Frank is always available for a second. Okay. Ramses.
Here.
Here.
There you go.
Just discussion on that. I know I can probably make it, but I actually like the idea of not, you know, so I'm actually speaking against it because I think October is going to be a very busy month for a lot of people because of the elections, and I know we're all going to be looking, well, not all of us, but I know myself and many people I know are going to really be looking for every bit of time on weekends around the election work. So I prefer that we don't meet in October, and if we need to meet. And if we need to make an adjustment in November to accommodate that, then I'd be open, more open to that.
Okay. Therefore, all those in favor of, does anybody else want to speak on that? All those in favor of the amendment to the amendment, please raise your hands. This is that we do October instead of November. All those in favor, raise your hand. Two, three. All those opposed.
What do we vote for? October and November.
November. This, you're voting against a switch. Okay. No, he didn't.
No, he wanted to. I didn't ask. Yeah. I made a mistake. And I'm going to take a vote.
Okay. What's the... It's actually... She voted... it was actually 2-9. She's switching her vote because she misunderstood what she was voting for. 2-9. 2-11. Any abstentions? 3. Okay. Now we have the other amendment, which is that we meet on April 9th, 14th, July 9th, August 13th. Yes. September 10th, November 19th, December 17th. All in favor, raise your hands. Please count.
Jose Luis, did you have your hand up?
Ramses?
Catching up to this. Okay.
Does anybody voting against it?
Any? No.
It's unanimous. Okay, that's what it is. Oh, wait, any abstentions? 2 abstentions, so, you know, whatever that comes to. Or, Janet, are you demanding a count for the record? Ah. Okay. Now we have to vote on the calendar. That was the amendment to the calendar. All in favor of that calendar, please raise your hand.
There's abstentions.
16.
And abstentions? 1. 16-1 abstentions. Noes? No noes. Okay. Oh, God. All right. PNB report. I agree. PNB report. Who's Janet is going to open.
Okay, but I don't know if we should switch this because Aki needs to leave at 3.
Okay. Good.
And so maybe we should take care of
yes,
the
let's do
committees
that.
First.
Let's do that. Thank you, Aki.
So shall I...
Go ahead. Run it.
Okay. One moment.
Does anybody want a kumquat who can catch?
You were a pitcher in another life, is that it?
Okay, so let me just say the PNB committees, and they are the ones that the LSB members can have input into being members of those committees, are the Audit Committee, Elections Committee, Governance, Programming. Those are the those committees. There's also a committee of inclusion that is basically LSB based, but it also includes a director that the LSB would have to elect. And then there are task forces, affiliates, archives, development, Spanish language, and technology. And let me just mention that, so the committees, you know, this is specific about, well, task forces also. So they do business for, you know, the PNB on the PNB level, and they pass motions, and whatever motions are passed on committees, they're not really effective or valid until the PNB itself votes on those motions. And then there are four standing committees. One is the coordinating committee, which is only has directors, and then also management, senior management, governance committee, finance committee, and audit committee. And finance committee consists of five directors, one from each station, that's already been done, and the five LSB treasurers and the CFO. In any case, so for today, what for LSB members to join committees, there's the audit committee, and two LSB members can be on that committee, elections committee, same. Governance committee, same. Programming committee, the same. And so why don't we, any number of LSB members can be on any of the task forces. So I don't know how, I mean, the only sign up that we might need Aki for is if more than two LSB members sign up for any of those committees that only have two.
Point of information. Can you tell us the difference between a committee and a task force?
Yeah, committee has certain requirements that are spelled out in the bylaws. Task forces are not, and that so there's a little bit of leeway. Yeah, noticing that, well, both of them do notice, but certain other requirements I can't think of off the top of my head.
Craig,
Jana, could you say a little bit about what each of these committees does?
Yeah, I mean, I did send out something, and it spells it out, but I can read it for the public, sure, if I can see my... okay, so the audit committee oversees annual audit, reviews and recommends potential auditors, and excludes, it's exclusive of finance committee members and vice versa with finance. Elections committee helps with the planning for a local station board delegate elections, including making recommendations for cost cutting, etc. Governance regularly reviews the foundation's bylaws and policies for governance of board activities. Programming ensures that programming at foundation stations meet and fulfills the foundation's purpose. So, I mean, I can stop. Should I talk about the other thing, other task forces and committee of inclusion now, or you want to just take care of that first and then we could
It's up to you.
Sure, why don't you do it? Do it, do the whole thing.
All right, Committee of Inclusion. That is made up of one station board director and then and three LSB members, up to, and then from each station, you know, this is, right. And then additional non-LSB members would have to be the same number as the LSB number members. So if we had three LSB members, then three non-LSB members could also be part of the Committee of Inclusion. And what it does is it monitors the underrepresentation of communities in station programming and staffing and the diversity of election candidates. It's a committee. It's in the bylaws. Yeah. So then the there's something that's relatively new called the, I'm moving away from committees now. There's a working group. It's called Strategic Planning Working Group. It got started in July last year. It's composed of directors, the IED, to review proposals and strategic plans for the foundation, which then submits them to the full board for approval. And I understand LSB members are invited to join that. Then the task forces are affiliates, which devises ways to expand and strengthen relationships with affiliate stations. Archives, advises on building archives infrastructure and reach. Development, recommends plans to increase network profile, listenership, and income. Spanish language programming, assists in implementation of Spanish language programming motion. And technology, advises on foundation infrastructure and information technology. So should we
go ahead, run okay. The whole thing.
All right, so
in charge of this.
I'm done with explaining. So let's do one at a time.
Well, I have a question for or a comment first before we do this. In the past, it has seemed to me that certain LSB members, not necessarily, or and certain PNB members, have concentrated power in their own hands by joining many committees. And another nonprofit I work at, we have a limit on how many committees any individual director can be on, so that power is not concentrated too thoroughly in any one director. And I wondered if this board has ever considered such a limit, and if such a thing is desirable at all in the minds of you guys.
So that is up to... it's in the bylaws, and I mean, it doesn't say how many committees somebody can be, but it could be added to the bylaws. And it's not been. I mean, it's an interesting point you bring up.
Get on the governance committee for that.
So.
It's something that I think we could also do informally here. If we wanted to, we could have a sense of the body kind of motion. It's just something I wanted to put out there before we took nominations. And if it's a bad, if you guys think it's a bad idea, it's a bad idea. I just want to throw it out there.
It's not been an issue.
I don't think it's going to be an issue. Because that many people are going to sign up to be on
anything.
Or any of the committees. That's going to be
okay. So let's do one at a time, and let's assume, I don't know, that if up to
when
two.
When you ask for
volunteers. Move your mic. Use your mic.
When you ask for volunteers for the committees, I think it would be helpful if you said which of our four PMB directors is on that committee. Just read the names. Do you have that written down?
We'll, I don't have that in front of me.
Okay, well, we'll speak up. It's okay. Okay.
Four PMB.
Okay. So,
three PMB directors.
Also, I want, you know, can we agree that if two or fewer of you sign up or volunteer, that it's no contest and
no election.
Right? No election? Yes.
Right.
Okay. Good. Audit committee. Right now, I and Margie are the directors from KPFA on the audit committee.
Yeah, you see everybody raising their hand? Oh.
So, Sasha?
We're lucky to get one.
Anybody else? So we're done?
Yeah.
All right, good. Next, elections. We don't have any directors on the elections. Anthony, Sharon. Anybody else? Okay. And by the way, I will be submitting these to Otis, who will then add you guys to the lists, and you'll get notices of the meetings and all. Okay. Governance. No directors from this station. William? And Sharon, anybody else? All right. Programming. Anthony and... Sorry.
He's not here, but I communicated with TM, and he said that's the committee he'd like.
Oh, so you're volunteering for TM?
Yeah, I'm putting his name in.
Not your name.
Right.
Okay, TM and Sabrina.
I see Scott there. Just reminding Scott, we're doing the sign-ups for the committees now, so when you see yours, I'll watch for you.
All right. Yay. So, Aki, oh, well, let's do the committees of inclusion, and then we can let Aki go. Okay, so there's no director.
I actually plan to sign up.
All right, so we'll... add Margie, and then LSB members, Samsara. Anyone else? Okay. Any listeners? We can have one listener. All right. Anyway, okay. That one's done. So, Aki, thank you very much.
Thank you, Aki.
Okay, and then...
All right.
Hi.
Say hello to your dear wife. Tell her she's missed.
All right, Strategic Planning Working Group. Anybody? David. Anybody else?
No, I'm withdrawing.
All right. We're done with that?
What does that one do? As a strategic planning.
It looks at everything for the foundation.
Well, can I put a pitch in for that strategic planning?
You know, that strategic planning committee is being tasked with developing, if at all, any underwriting, good underwriting protocols.
So, Sabrina, you're... That's part of the agenda for the...
Yes.
I see you're trying to take power.
Okay. Affiliates. This is task forces now. So, affiliates. Anybody?
Me.
Who?
Scott.
Scott.
He's near two affiliates. Or...
And I believe, yes, so there can be volunteers who are not LSB. He's on the LSB. Sorry. Of course. Anybody else? Okay. Archives.
Boring.
Important. All right, none. Development.
Joy.
Sabrina and Joy. No... director. Oh, okay. Frank. There's no director from here on that one, or on the archives, or on the affiliates. But anyway, okay. Spanish language programming. Sabrina.
Ramses.
And Ramses. And No director from here? Okay, technology. So, Rich.
Scott.
And Scott. And right now, I'm on the technology task force.
Can I add to the programming one?
Frank.
David.
That would be three.
Is that too many for that one?
Well, it would require an SCV.
Oh, because only two of us can go?
Yeah.
I'll wait.
Okay. That's it. I think we're done.
Okay. All right, now the PNB report. I know that Margie has something from Brian to read that's long to read into the record.
Just start with, yeah.
Go ahead, Jana.
Okay, so there was a PNB meeting on January 28th, which was the initial meeting of the new PNB board, and a continuation meeting on February 4th. They were both kind of, they were disruptions and problems, and but in any case, out of the second one, February 4th, there was an election of the PNB officers, and that was done online after the meeting. And so the new chair is Tony Norman from WPFW. Vice chair is Adriana Casnave from KPFT, and secretary is me again. There was in the same motion, it extended the term of Lydia Brazan as IED until the new ED is hired. Then, and also there were sign-ups for the PNB committees and task force and all that, and some of them were contested, and that's all gotten worked out. Another thing that took place was the coordinating committee met and is working on preparing for an in-person meeting in Berkeley, which would, you know, that's the next place, because it rotates among each stations, and that would be probably end of May, early June, when the date hasn't been set yet, but I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. And then I'll end with the next PNB meeting is this coming Thursday.
Janet, you said that Brazan is interim ED until the ED. What's the progress? Where are we at in the process of getting an ED?
Okay, so the personnel committee that's the job of the personnel committee to go through the process, and it's a whole bunch of steps, and we just finished last year hiring the CFO. I mean, that was a long process, and but it was successful that we ended up hiring somebody. So that process will have to begin with the personnel committee this year, however long it takes.
I want to share with the LSB the report that the PNB treasurer Brian Edwards Tiegert made to the National Finance Committee and to the Pacifica National Board. I actually sent this to you all by email, but for the listening audience, I'd like to read the narrative portion of this report into the record. Brian sent this on Tuesday, February 23rd. Dear Sam and the Pacifica National Board, Sam is our new CFO. I am writing to get you up to speed on where we are in terms of getting board-approved budgets into place for the current fiscal year, which started on October 1, 2015. Last fall, the National Finance Committee had to go through the budget review process while Pacifica was between CFOs. Our committee tried its best to flag concerns and suggest action. You'll see our recommendations in the motions below. But Sam may wish to revisit any or and all of these budgets, and they would doubtless be better for his attention. The National Finance Committee has approved budgets for 5 out of Pacifica's 7 financial units. WBAI in New York and WPFW in Washington, D.C. both worked hard to generate detailed documents, but have not been able to realistically project enough income to cover their operating expenses. The managers of both stations have also expressed to the committee that they do not believe they can cut expenses further and still stay on the air. As currently structured, both are unable to keep up with central service payments to the national office and intermittently require assistance making payroll. For the sake of completeness, I have attached the most recent budget proposals from both stations, but the National Finance Committee has not recommended their approval. I am doubtful that their financial problems can be addressed through budgeting. The PMB may wish to consider more structural interventions to keep their deficits from jeopardizing the rest of the network. I have also attached the first quarter unit-by-unit income statement that is the basis for my notes below on how each unit has performed relative to its budget. This came with the following caveat from the national staff who prepared it. Some stations, quote, some stations have not yet updated postings to certain accounts, close quote. Thus, the financial statements are both preliminary and partial. And then what follows are comments about the current situation at each of the 5 Pacifica stations. And the Pacifica Radio Archives. It's actually the 3 stations that have budgets in place, KPFA, KPFT, and KPFK, all have functioning budgets in place and have various relationships to being on target with their budgets. And then the Pacifica National Archives and the Pacifica National Office, he makes reports on those. I won't read those, I think, but I wanted people, I know you all have it in your email if you don't have it in front of you, and my personal comment, I'm no longer speaking in Brian's voice, is that the situation is extremely worrisome and very, very dire.
You want to say anything about that?
Fuentes. Okay. Also, a director at the PMB, and I 100% agree with Margie and Brian that the situation is dire. We are looking at the 2 stations, WBAI and PFW in Washington, D.C., and we can't forget about Los Angeles, who is also in financial problems, which just leaves 2 stations, and that's us and Houston having to bail them out when they can't meet payroll, some of their essential obligations that they have. And we have this audit that we need to come up with $150,000. So I don't see how we can...
What does that mean, Louise? Explain that a little further.
Yeah, I don't... So we have an audit and auditors that will not complete the audit until we pay them $150,000 that we owe them in back... current and back work that they've done. And this is an audit for the old Pacifica, which we need in order to get the CPB money, and each month we lose CPB money. So we need $150,000 now, and we don't have $150,000 now. No one will loan us money without an audit. So looking at hiring an ED, looking at all these other expenses we have,
the audit is the only place where we can get money, but we need $150,000 to make that happen, and we need a current viable plan in order for the auditors to approve it. So we are in problems that we have to at least adhere. Both Houston and Berkeley need to realize that they're going to be having to pony up money to help these other stations, and we need to realize that we have to continue bailing out the whole network.
Bill, Joy, David, Sasha.
Well,
Janet.
The thing that.
And Tim.
The thing that concerns.
And Ramses. Wait a minute. Let me get this down. Okay. Bill, Joy. What did I say? David. Sasha. Did Joy, you have your hand up?
Yeah.
Joy, Janet, Ramses. I'm leaving somebody off. Okay, I'm going to read it. Bill, Tim, I left off Tim. Is Tim talking now?
Yes.
Okay. Tim, Bill, Joy, David, Sasha, Janet, Ramses. Go ahead.
So, question to the PNB directors. Given that we have this dire situation and given that KPFA and Houston may not have the requisite funds to get the audit done, is there a plan B or a structural readjustment proposal on the table? I guess I'll leave it at that.
What Ramses has just recommended is we take a few questions rather than going one comment and then Margie, Jose, Luis, and Janet answering and another comment, that we take a few questions. Okay. So we have Tim's question. Next we have Bill and Joy. Bill and Joy.
Okay, I actually just wanted to discuss what I think of as an ethical issue with respect to the supporters of KPFA. And the ethical issue that I see is asking for support for KPFA through the fund drives and not letting the people who are paying the money know the situation about what may be done with their money or what is being done with their money. A lot of people are paying money to support this station that they love and that's been around for a long, long time and was the original founder of Pacifica, et cetera. Most people don't understand or don't realize that that money is being appropriated by Pacifica for stations that are failing or that Pacifica is failing. And it raises an ethical issue about people not really knowing the truth. And we're taking their money without telling them the truth. And we need to think about that, particularly, as I say, when I think there's someone in New York who's utilizing WBAI to sell his products, whether they're snake oil or not, whether they're legitimate products or not. I mean, I don't think that the Northern California folks that support KPFA would be at all predisposed to give money to KPFA if they knew that a significant portion of that money was being used to try to help out stations that can't succeed, who've lost their listenership, et cetera. So we need to think real hard about that in terms of what we might do. You know, so, I mean, from my perspective, I think either that the stations who are paying to support the network, they become the people who drive the network. So that, for example, stations who can't afford to pay their dues to Pacifica lose their voting rights on the board. Until you can pay your way, you don't get to vote. The people who are paying for the network direct the network because they're the people who have a track record that show that they can operate the radio stations. That's one. Or two is, we go into voluntary bankruptcy under Chapter 11, Pacifica does, and we reorganize Pacifica under the, you know, tutelage of a bankruptcy judge, and we do that in the Ninth District. We do it in the Ninth Circuit here, not anywhere else, because we're known in this area, and people know what we do, and we reorganize the foundation
to protect the foundation and its assets with the help of a judge if the people at Pacifica don't get real. The directors at Pacifica and the people on the board at Pacifica have to get real, which means they need to cede control of Pacifica to the stations who know how to run a radio station and succeed. And if they won't do that, then we should force them to do that by going into in voluntary bankruptcy in Chapter 11.
Joy, David, and Margie, are you keeping time? Okay. Okay, then after David, there will be the PNB people can respond, and then we'll go to Sasha, and then there's Janet again, and Ramses, and Barbara. Okay, that's all right. Joy.
So I kind of agree with Bill that something needs to be done, and it should be on Pacifica, and that's been the issue since the very beginning and inception of Pacifica. Pacifica doesn't raise any money. Pacifica sucks money from the other five stations. Let's get real. Pacifica was established to raise money for the stations. It has never happened. So if there was going to be a solution, that's where I would see I'll put our efforts in development and growing Pacifica and let the PNB live up to its responsibility to raise money for the network. The other thing I disagree with Bill about is how we view ourselves as a network. Do we say, oh, we're strong, we're first, we're the best, Berkeley's good, and we don't give a fuck about, we don't give anything about the rest of them, they can't handle it. It doesn't sound like justice to me. It doesn't sound like a network. And I'm kind of straddling the fence because I was in New York. New York was a very powerful station. Whatever the reasons are, it should be protected. I love it as much as I love Berkeley. So I don't think that we should be arrogant and sit here and say we're better and we're taking care of ourselves and we should be stroked and we should let everybody who's not doing what they're supposed to do not have a voting record on the PNB. That's not a family, certainly, and it's not a network. Other solutions that I would suggest is that we look at what percentage we can afford as a station that's solvent specifically for this, try to get some quick start money, do a campaign specifically for this, but also find a way to help, and I don't know what the magic bullet is, to help WPFW in New York, which is furthest away, but they also happen to be in the center of the politics of this nation, New York and Washington, and we won't have any say at all, if it is. A lot of people say WPFW don't do a lot of that anyway, but it is an asset. It belongs to us. If we think of it as a family, then I think, yes, tough love, but you still care about it, and you do everything you can before you start writing it off voluntarily. Chapter 11 or whatever, I don't think is an option, and I think it belies a failure of our mission, a failure of our commitment of a network, and it's certainly too soon. Now, if it happens because we can't help it, that's something else. But I would like to see us use our energy towards coming up with positive solutions that keep us a strong network all the way across the country. Personally.
David.
Is it true that we don't really have very good information about what the state of WPFW and WBA are right now? Because I was hearing I listened to the most recent Finance Committee audio, and it sounded like Sam was actually having trouble getting data, any kind of response at all regarding PFW, like just nothing from the management there. Is it true? And if that's true, then do we know how bad it is? Do we have a gut feel for what the situation is?
Okay. Now, does somebody want to? Somebody from the PNB want to address some of these things? Janet.
Okay. Oh, go ahead,
Janet.
All right. Let's hear from Margie. We haven't heard from Margie very much.
Janet.
All right. So, some of what I'm hearing here, I think, is related to people not having complete information. So you hear this thing from this group or that committee or this individual or that, and there are other things going on, though. And senior management has been working on these kinds of things with other directors, and that you don't know about. So, for example, Lydia has been working on trying to do a fundraising effort for Pacifica. And I mean, you know, Pacifica doesn't raise money yet, and so it needs to, and that's something that she's that's high priority for her. As far as a plan B, well, also what it sounds like is a lot of you who are just spoke should try to sign up for the strategic planning task force. But anyway, so as far as stations who aren't solvent not being able to vote, well, that would have to be a bylaws amendment in any case. And as far as the bankruptcy goes, I mean, that's, you don't know who would end up with the resources, the assets, even with voluntary bankruptcy. And I wouldn't support going there unless it, I mean, I don't think it's at this point where that's where we would have to go. And then I'll, well, so as far as those two stations, WBFW and WBAI, not getting providing information, that's also being worked on by, you know. And then I'll end with talking about the KPFA donations and that people who are donors to KPFA don't necessarily know where their money's going to end up. Well, as far as my understanding, the process, if a donation comes into KPFA and it's specified for KPFA, there's something called restricted funds. If somebody donates specifically for something, that money can't go anywhere. So it's the unrestricted funds that might be touched. And anyway, so yeah, it's not good that there's not enough money coming in. And also there are efforts to try to get these other stations to fundraise more, to bring in more money so that, you know, they can be solvent.
Why don't you go ahead and say what you wanted to say when
that's
you want to talk? You've done it.
I've
okay,
it.
So I'm taking you off the list. Okay. Did Margie wanted to say something?
Okay. So
please get a mic.
Sorry. Okay. There's no plan B. The PNB has not come up with a plan B. I think the closest we got to that was creating this structure, whatever it's called, strategic planning committee at the in-person PNB meeting last year. I will tell you that at the time, it met several times last year. I participated in a few meetings. Very few PNB directors participated in those meetings. People from the LSBs and even a member who's not a member of an LSB participated. I think we had very cordial conversations and more realistic conversations than we've had in the PNB in that committee, but we don't have a plan. We've come up with some proposals which we want to have the PNB discuss, but because our last two meetings have been totally disrupted, we haven't been able to discuss those. I'm not going to talk about the ethical issue or bankruptcy or any of those things. I think we need to have these conversations. I think it's important that we have these conversations. The question of information is a complicated question. But here's what we do know. We do know that WBAI has not paid Central Services in years. They owe something like $3 million in back Central Services. If WBAI had been paying Central Services on a regular basis, the foundation would be in a totally different situation today than it is.
And we know that recently WPFW has been unable to pay central services, and at least on one occasion recently had to get money from someplace else to cover their payroll. So that's what we do know. We know that. It's true that there are, you know, that there's a certain lack of information. Sam, I think, is very frustrated by the fact that he hasn't been able to get information, and he's trying to solve that problem. He's working on, you know, people need to know that at one point a decision was made in the national office long before I was on the PMB that there should be one business manager who worked out of the Texas station who handled the business affairs of Texas, New York, and Washington. That's bizarre. You know, you need a business manager on hand in the place, but it was done as a cost-saving measure. It was seen as a way, well, and so the result is that there are problems. KPFK has not had a functioning business manager since 2014. I can't remember. And they've had a number of temps in that position, but the fact of the matter is that their records are their financial records are pretty much in a shambles. So, I'm not blaming people. I'm saying that this is the situation we have going forward, and we need to have a realistic conversation about it. And the last thing I want to say is this is just me personally. I will never vote to have an in-person meeting, which will cost around $30,000 and maybe more, as long as we don't have enough money to pay for the audit. I'm sorry. I think it's
in-person meeting of what?
Of the PMB. The in-person meeting. The PMB is supposed to meet in person four times a year, according to our bylaws. Last year we met once. I think we met once the year before. We changed it to once a year. Yeah, oh yeah, there was a bylaw amendment. Anyway, so we're supposed to meet once a year. But it doesn't make any sense to me to spend that money that way. I'm sorry. I believe in in-person meetings. I think it makes a huge difference if people are sitting in the same room looking at each other and talking to each other and seeing facial expressions and so on. But I think it's wrong for the PMB to have an in-person meeting that will cost a great deal of money when we can't afford to pay for the audit.
Jose Luis.
So, you know, the reality is that we don't have the votes to win over the folks who have the sentiments that Joy eloquently express. And those folks will vote to have in-person meetings and the $30,000 that be spent, and they will continue to believe that we have to bail them out because we're all a big family. So we being KPFA, they're looking at our fund drives. How well are we doing? They're rooting that we do well in our fund drive so that money is there when it's needed. So I think we need to change our mentality and just realize that is the fact, and we need to fundraise this $150,000 because it is in our best interest, KPFA's best interest, to either find someone to loan us this $150,000 so we can pay for that audit and get it done so we can get that CPB money flowing in so they can use that to subsidize their standard of living in Washington and New York and Los Angeles, and you know their LSBs are just not functioning there. They're all at war with each other. So it's in our best interest to find this money because we don't have a plan B. We don't, and bank, no one will go down these other routes.
I see it. Okay. I see it. Right now, let me just say that it's 3:17. We usually break at 4. We have a whole bunch of things on the agenda. This is a very important conversation. On the list that we have now is Sasha Ramses. I put myself there so that you would keep it when I pass it to you and let me talk. And then I can't read this scribble. And then Craig and then Sabrina. Tim, that's the scribble. Sorry. and I'm crossing off Craig. So that's just what's going on, and there's a lot of very important stuff hanging, and we're going to meet after this on April 9th, I believe. But anyway, Sasha.
Well, I really want to second a lot of things that Margie said, but I want to start out with saying that, you know, I think we're in incredible, horrible political times in this country and in the world, and that all of our stations are needed now really desperately. And that having been said, I also spent 6 years on this board, a 3-year absence. Here I am again. And it's the same problems that have now become really very serious and dire. And I don't want to lose it all. You know, I really don't. And since I come from KPFA, if it comes right down to it, I want to save KPFA. I'd rather save KPFA than lose it all. And I want to point out to you, when we talk about Texas and KPFA being counted on to fund things, and somebody who's currently on the P&B can help me out with this, but I remember years ago I was shocked at how small Texas's station was, their budget was, because it's tiny. $25,000 would, like, bankrupt them to give to someone else. So it's us. It's KPFA that we're talking about. You heard what Quincy said. Pacifica can just take it. And so I think, you know, we don't get along here. We have two factions. But I think the time has come for us to really have a serious discussion about this and really focus on this and stop spending a half an hour picking meeting dates. That's so insane, you know, or having to explain repeatedly fulfillment rates that have been explained to death on emails. And now at the meeting, I mean, I have sat here now for hours and we've accomplished pretty much zero. And we have a system that may go down the tubes. Do you get that? I mean, does everyone here get that, no matter what side we're on? Well, that we have to start talking about it. We just really have to, that we all start talking about it and see how we feel about things. Because I want to tell you, when you talk about sending something to the PNB, unless things haven't changed, because they can't even meet any longer, we're going to find out if the PNB is going to be allowed to meet. Let's not forget that somebody disrupted the meetings with loud sounds, so the PNB could not meet for the last two meetings. Let's not forget that. These are the games that are being played. There are people who are suing. I mean, we are having an audit because our own members across the system decided to turn us in for problems that don't really exist with the state of California. That's why we're going through an audit. Let's not forget that. These lawsuits are not immaterial. So it's time for us to really say, okay, do we want to fight each other until there's nothing left, or do we want to try to work together? And that includes discussing our differences. Because I hate to tell you this, I've been on both factions, and politically, there aren't a whole lot of differences. I don't think anyone in this room is going to vote for Trump. You know what I mean? I mean, we don't have that many big differences politically. We stand for the same things, and we're shooting ourselves in the foot and in other places. So I'd like us to start on this board figuring out what we can do and having some discussions. Because when something gets set to the PNB, if they do meet, I hate to tell you how long things sit on their calendar and do not get discussed or dealt with or voted on. And we have to start talking about the reality and how we're going to survive. And I'd like to keep as much as Pacifica in that survival as possible. Because I agree, New York and Washington are incredibly important. But I'd rather lose them than lose everything, okay?
Thank you. I think we've talked about the situation many, many times in the last few years I've been on the LSB. I do want to caution that, you know, these conversations, you know, as much as we have them here, we need to also have them outside with other folks, other people invested in the organization, KPFA, Pacifica level. people who are and really believe in the organization and KPFA but don't understand that this is going on should also really know. Here, you know, and to an extent I'll agree with what was just said, you know, it's like we're not, this is not going to lead to a decision right away, right? But that said, I do want to be optimistic about the situation. I know it's hard dealing with the fact, you know, Jose Luis did a great job explaining, I think, the situation overall from the local KPFA to the national at Pacifica. I want to believe we can make it through and preserve as much possible of Pacifica and the organization. Part of me feels like I haven't seen exactly a real kind of like rebuild program, you know, within the organization. It could be because maybe there hasn't been people at the PMB level who wanted to do it in the first place, right? I don't know. I'm only acting on knowing from within this region and KPFA only and and what I hear from people in the PMB regularly to us. But there's a lot of unknowns. What it does remind me of is a lot in my own union, SEIU 1021, we were merged about 10 years ago, 10 different locals into one, right? It was a nightmare from one day to the next, right? You have 10 different cultures or 10 different small unions. Suddenly, you all have to get along and run one big, large union together, right? And it's taken us 69 years to get out of that nightmare and actually have things back in order and create a whole new culture that respects everybody's, you know, original, you know, cultures at their own unions. And, you know, it meant we have a larger board, you know, sure we have a bigger budget, but there's like 20 times more things we have to deal with than we used to before at a smaller level, right? But it took a lot of efforts, and if you want, we can talk afterwards. I can tell you exactly the many things that we had to implement and all the hard work that went in to actually get to the point that we're at now. Of course, I'm not saying KPF is the same as a union, but I'm just saying it's a similar place that I've been, that I know it takes a lot of effort and some really stepping outside of this meeting and actually maybe even going and reaching out to other folks in other parts of Pacifica and having real serious conversations about what it is that we have to do to move things forward. So it's good to hear there's a strategic group getting together, but I also like to know, is there like a sort of like a rebuild group, right? Maybe there's some way to like, quote, rebuild some of these other stations somewhere or another, right, before we have to make real serious decisions, because something's going to give eventually, right, for sure. And I think, appreciate Jose Luis saying, we at least need to take care of the 150 for now and get that done.
Okay, you're actually chairing now because I'm going to talk. Okay. I think this is a great discussion, and I don't think it's a discussion we have usually. And I don't think that we're at a place where we know where to go with it or what to do with it yet. And I also think that actually now that you know, a number of you who are new on the board can get the experience that that this board is not as divided as the propaganda or the, you know, the rumors, the urban legends would lead you to believe, that actually this board for the last couple of years has largely made efforts to work together and to deal with things. There are divisions. There are questions. I mean, there is a question before us that maybe a legal question, maybe a cultural question about the privacy issue that we're not going to get to today. So there are maybe issues about attitudes toward programming that are issues and so on. There are issues that are outstanding about that we have to explore and that we're not going to get to today. But I really think that this is the first time that I've been around in a long time that we've had the kind of come to Jesus moment about that we are supporting financially the entire network, and that actually if we weren't supporting the network, we would have the computers that we need, we would have the systems that we need, we would have all of the stuff that, you know, that we're short on now because we don't have the money, because the money has been taken from us and is supporting payrolls and rents and fees and so on across Pacifica. Where this leads, you know, I guess we'll see. And it's hard to figure out how to structure the conversation. but I think we've got to work to do it and come up with ideas where, you know, we talk about them and argue about them, and that we argue about them publicly, but that we also feel comfortable in saying what we think and changing our minds, you know, saying something and then saying, oh, I didn't really mean that or something, and not be vicious about our explorations about choices, because our choices aren't as wide as we wish they were. Janet's opinion, I think, is probably mistaken, that if you say that the funds are designated for KPFA, that they can't be taken. Now, maybe that's true in a bequest. I don't know. All right. Right. Thank you, dear. And I can't see what it says, but I'm going to. Well, now I have 30 seconds now. And the bequests, so I think that our match should be designated as KPFA only, and that we should have the whole fund drive. If you're correct, say on there, we would like you to designate restricted funds, whatever the language is that you think controls, that our fund drive asks everybody to indicate they want this as restricted funds, and definitely the LSB thing is restricted funds, but people may disagree with that. Okay. Next is Tim, and then Sabrina, and then Sharon.
I just a couple of things. One, in terms of funds leaving the office, they seem to leave KPFA as a loan, and then they don't get the loans don't get repaid, and then they get written off in the as an inter-office loan. So the money does go, and it's that's the process that I think it goes, and I'm not sure everybody understands that. The other thing I want to say is I love the idea that we're one big network family and we should all take care of each other, but I've seen families where, say, there's an alcoholic brother who can't make his house payments. And at some point, the alcoholic brother keeps coming back and saying, I need $20,000, I need $5,000, I need $10,000. And at some point, you're going to lose your house too, because and you just say to the alcoholic brother, I'm done. There is no more inter-office loan, to use a phrase, right? And I think we're closer to that point. We have to be closer to that point than we are, than we are. I think we're closer to bankruptcy than sometimes we like to actually say. When we know that BAI is behind in transmitter payments, we're going to get sued at some point. When we know that there's lawsuits, a multi-million-dollar lawsuit from within our own station, I mean within our own network, against the network, we're closer to bankruptcy than we think we are. And the question I've seen at several nonprofits is, how do you know when you're dead? Right? How do you know when it's too late? And I think we're closer to that too late than we like to actually say out loud. And I think I just want to say it out loud. We're closer to bankruptcy may not be a voluntary issue sooner than we like to think. So
it's just like the planet. Okay. Tim. Sabrina. What are we going to do in the
last half hour? This is an important discussion.
What?
I think we need to continue this discussion until everybody, to at least we talk, see what solutions people can.
Sabrina.
Thank you. Okay, so here we go. All right, you guys.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Now, I don't like talking about problems and going on and on about my opinions and subjective this and blah, blah, that. Without solid solutions. Bring a problem, bring a solution, okay? Who's on the development committee with me that's supposed to be talking to the PNB? Okay, so that's me and you, Joy. We need to put our heads together and figure out what we can do to get out there in the East Bay, San Francisco Bay, San Jose, North Bay, and just hit it and hit it hard and get people interested about KPFA again. Take it back to the conversation about Trump possibly getting elected. I mean, that is some scary, scary stuff. Right? We're back to what, 10 years ago when Bush got elected. KPFA was needed direly then. When Reagan was elected, KPFA was there. Pacifica was there. You know, that's going to pique the interest. Okay, that's going to pique the interest with this horrible, horrible man possibly getting elected. That's just one angle on the development end, you know. And any other ideas that people have, bring those to the table as far as development is concerned. Let's see what else. Strategic Planning Working Group. I don't exactly know what that means. What does that mean? Okay, great. Let's keep talking then.
It's more than that.
Can I add that? It's more than that?
Yeah, it's not just having discussions. It's coming up with plan. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I asked. Right. Thank you for clarifying. Appreciate that.
Okay. Sharon. I just wanted to say I am willing to make a motion to have the LSB donation designated as a restricted donation if we need to do it as a motion. I don't know if that's needed for clarity's purpose. Okay, I'm just putting that out there. And the other thing I just wanted to say, because I... Okay, I will make that motion.
Second.
Okay. And but before we get to that, I had another point I also wanted to make. I just wanted to say, I thought maybe we were going to, I should have probably announced this during the announcements, but I did want to remind people that we are having a KPFA community input meeting on March 26th, Saturday, March 26th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Tara Hall Pittman South Berkeley Public Library, and that is part of outreach, and we are trying to reach out to the community. This is sponsored by the CAB. So I do think it's really important to really try to do the outreach. So, yes, I just wanted to say that.
Your motion.
Yes, back to my
do
motion.
Do we have a second?
We did. Tim, second.
Okay. Are we going to have a discussion?
Motion.
The motion is that we, the LSB, now there's a question about this, the whether or not it works, but...
Yeah. If possible.
It's possible. So we're throwing something up and seeing the flagpole. What we're saying is the LSB, let me paraphrase this and correct me, Sharon, is that the LSB recommends that or that the fund drive designates and tells everybody to designate their funds as restricted to KPFA funds as part of the fund drive. Is that right?
Actually, my motion was directed towards the money that we were generating because I thought our thing that we are raising within here, was going to be designated as a restricted. I don't know if we needed a motion, but now that you say that, what you just said, I'm kind of into that too.
Jan is dying to talk.
So,
Margie also?
Restricted funds means that the donor restricts their donation for a specific thing.
It has to be specific.
Not just general KPFA. It's got to be computers or whatever. So it's really up to the donors to determine that. And so I don't know what, you know, and it would include... the Quincy's doing this or deciding to do this, and I don't know how, you know, whether it can be done by soliciting restricted funds, donations. I don't know.
Okay.
Point of order.
Yes.
We've ended the big topic, and now we're going to talk about this.
Somebody made a motion.
This diddly shit.
We have a motion.
When you have a motion, that takes over.
Can we just vote on it?
Margie.
Let me urge people not to do this. Restricted funds are a bookkeeping nightmare. We are proposing something that will make the people in our business office explode.
Okay.
It is not simple. It is very complicated.
Okay.
We are a legally... Okay. It's a nonprofit. We
got
have,
it.
We
got
have
it.
Laws and
you,
rules.
You,
we have
you,
to
you. Okay. Now, going back
I
to the
my
other
motion.
List. Okay. Going back to the other list. Frank, Craig, Janet, Margie, and then Bill, who's going to close with a big flourish. Okay, Frank.
I agree with Sabrina that we need to, like, try to work as a group, and especially people that signed up for it, to, like, come up with some strategic ideas or planning. But I feel like it's not always easy for me to discuss this stuff, but some people feel that people on some of these boards, this board included, that they've put in place people or have made decisions themselves that have been detrimental to the network, and including the bequest money, if you want to go there with that, that has hurt Pacifica, including the setting up of this shadow corporation that we never known about. So I think we need to, like, figure out, you could put your head down wherever you want, but that happened. It's a fact. That happened. You could think that. I think other. So we got to, like, realize that some people may have wanted the network not to succeed. And whether that's a reality to you that you want to throw your hands up and say, what the hell is this guy talking about? Or if you want to think that maybe someone happened that, and there was a shadow corporation set up that we didn't know about. I was on the board for years. No one told me. Okay, whether you thought that mattered or not, it happened. So we need to think, like, are there real people that want to save the network? Are we one big happy family? You know, to me, I think of KPFA or WBAI or whatever, you know, the other stations are other people's KPFAs that they love, you know, that they want to succeed. And I don't know the exact facts, but I believe in the past, KPFA has had to use funds from the network to survive when other stations were doing well. So we need to try to keep this network together by all means and not let it fall into bankruptcy when there are people setting up corporations to receive it with their own personal names attached. You know, so we need to take a serious look at the decisions that some people are making that are not good for the network.
Point of personal privilege.
Anyways, so thank you. I think we should really stick to keeping the network together.
Point of personal privilege. As somebody who was involved in helping setting up that shell corporation, that corporation, that foundation or nonprofit or whatever foundation that we set up, we brought to this LSB and said it's a shell and we'll give it to this LSB.
Yes.
It got brought out. No. It's now collapsed, but I mean, it was, we talked about this. No, it is worth talking about it, Margie, because there's a set of beliefs about it that are absolutely not correct. We set it up without a discussion originally because there was such splits in the board at that time, and we thought that everything was going to collapse, and because we knew that your side had gone to the Attorney General's office, and we thought that we should attempt to have something there to catch it. And as soon as every time we were asked about it, we said yes. We didn't come announce it, but then after things cooled out and our relationships changed, we raised that to be an inclusive group and to not have it, and it's now gone. And, you know, so it was set up to try and catch something if this was burst apart by government intervention. Absolutely. But, and anyway.
Point of information.
All right, next person on the list.
Can I have a point of information?
Yeah.
Has WBAI turned a profit in more than 10 years, in any quarter in the last 10 years?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Okay. When I first came on the Finance Committee in 2011, WBAI was not contributing their central services to the percentage that all the other stations were. They just declared we're going to try to pay 5%. And most of the time they didn't even do that. And so that's the answer. I want to say one thing about this. The feelings that Frank was just expressing about the shadow, whatever it is, I think there are such hard feelings amongst folks that you're imagining that you know the motivation that was there. And that's what is, I think, in error.
Okay, we have a list here. Yes, and also, so, Frank, Craig, Janet, Margie, Anthony, Sasha.
Madam Chair,
I be recognized?
No, I said no. Frank, Craig, Janet, Margie, Anthony, Sasha.
I have a point of order. As we discussed back in the morning during the agenda setting, I've got a motion to offer, and we decided to fold it into the PNB report. Okay. And now I'm concerned we'll run out of time if I wait till everyone has spoken, so mm-hmm. I want to offer that motion now.
Okay.
It's 3:45.
Go ahead. Put your motion on. Okay. There's a whole discussion also about privacy and so on, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's slightly off topic from the current talk, but it does relate to the network. I don't have 20 odd copies. I just have about half a dozen, but I will pass it around. It relates to WBAI. As some people may know, WBAI's directors have not been seated by the national board. Therefore, WBAI has no representation at the moment. It would be as if Congress refused to seat our congressmen and congresswomen from here in California. I don't think we'd take kindly to that. So this is an advisory motion I'm offering, which would recommend that this board urge the PNB not to conduct business until it's seated WBAI directors. I'm not, I know it's a tangled situation back there, and it arose over a dispute over who takes the runner-up seat in an election. I'm not taking sides in that. What I want to see is that it be resolved somehow, whether they sit down among themselves and decide to do it, or whether PNB does it, or maybe, hopefully, we don't have to have a judge force it one way or another. But the point is, I don't think the PNB should be making decisions that are going to affect New York without New York being represented. So that's why I'm offering this advisory motion.
Okay. Second. I don't even know if this is in order, but okay. Let's go for it. Sasha, Margie, Janet. Joy, yeah.
There was a second.
Frank is always reliable.
Stop that.
David. Why? It's true. He's reliable.
The point of information.
Point of information.
Got to use the mic.
Yeah.
You know, is Andrea Kosanow's motion that would have effectively disenfranchised the existing WBAI appointees or representatives, did that pass? So that they have no representation whatsoever, no. Or is it that the existing ones continue to operate until
Margie?
Margie, you got the floor.
Okay.
Somebody
time me, because I can talk way more than 3 minutes on this subject. Let me tell you. But first of all, I want to remind people in this room that in 2011, this body elected certain people to the PNB, and the PNB refused to seat them. Okay? This is not the first time this has happened. And that we didn't ask the PNB to stop doing business until we resolved the matter. We did what we had to do, and the matter was resolved. You know, it's like, please. What happened was that there were... Oh, God. Okay. There was an election going on, okay? WBAI did not make quorum, so the date for the final results on their election was extended to January 4th. In December, one of the members of the PNB from BAI, a staff representative, reached her 6-year limit in December. Prior to the end of the election, prior to whether we knew or not whether or not BAI would have a quorum, and prior to any votes being counted, the issue was who should replace this person. And the LSB at BAI couldn't agree. It was brought to the PNB. The PNB voted. I was not at the meeting, but I agree with the vote. The PNB voted that because the election was in process and was not concluded, that according to the bylaws, the next runner-up from the most recent
election should replace this person on the LSB. That person, you know, that election took place in 2012. I recognize all the problems with that, but the language in the bylaws is not ambiguous. It's totally clear. And so the argument was that it should be the runner-up from the new election rather than the old election. Have you all, like, gone to sleep? You know this. Oh, all right, she knows it. I don't know if everybody else knows it. Okay. Okay, so then the LSB elections were completed. The LSB is split down the middle at WBAI, and so some people had a meeting, and they got the first runner-up from the most recent, the 2015 election, to come to that meeting. They declared themselves a quorum, and they elected four people to the PMB. No one from the other side was present at that meeting. It is alleged that the people who called the meeting knew that there were people, for example, who had to be on the air at the time that they called the meeting. People had indicated that they would not be able to be present at the time. And there was another meeting scheduled for the next day.
Time.
Wait a minute. Let me. I need to finish this. I will be quick. The LSB in New York needs to meet and needs to resolve this problem. That's their job. But the PMB should not be required to stop meeting. There is a proposal for this current coming up LSB meeting that would allow one representative from WBAI to continue meeting with the board, because she is the one person who is either not termed out or did not fail to run for re-election on the new LSB. We can't deal with this.
What is the subject matter of this is not what happened in New York and the whole story of that, because there are two different versions of that. What the subject matter of this discussion is, should we take a position that the PNB stop operating until this is resolved? And that is the subject of this. Janet, the question's been called.
The PNB has business to do.
The question
business.
Has been called.
Okay.
All in favor of this? No. The question has been called. All of those in favor of... Fine. All of those in favor of this motion, please...
Who called the question? I did. That was a mistake.
Okay, we're voting on ending debate. All of those in favor of ending debate. How many? Nine yes. How many opposed to ending debate? Okay, so we're ending debate, and we are now voting. Oh, it's got to be two-thirds. Oh, okay. Sasha.
Thank you. Because this is what I wanted to say. I wanted to say that this is obviously going to be a highly contentious issue that is going to really divide us, and is, you know, this is not something that we can't. I mean, I understand why you would want to deal with this now, Anthony. And I understand why those who voted that we have a vote, because I know how that vote will go, wanted to deal with it. But I don't think this is one of those things that this board should just dismiss. It's one of those issues that is going to make us snarl and growl and nip at each other once again. And that's not going to get us anywhere. That's not. And that's all I wanted to say. That's all I wanted to say, which means I don't think the question should be quickly called and we should vote. Not if we want to learn to get along with one another.
Ramses, did you have your hand? Ramses.
You got to pass that mic down or over?
Oh, I've got. Can I have all the mics?
All right. So just first off, quick time check. It's 3:53. You know, reminder, we're we're limited on the time frame that we can be here, so 4 p.m. we should really start winding down. Obviously, if we're in motion, we can wrap that up. That's understood per rules and everything. But I want to say, too, that, you know, we blasted through this section of the agenda in a fashion that, like, we're not reaching any conclusions to anything, I think. And I was trying to convey that earlier, and then when the motion came, I could see, oh, my God, this is we're going to end up at 4 o'clock still talking about this, right? And it's looking like we might, right? Why I voted no on the calling the questions personally is because I feel like we need to just wrap up the meeting today, right, whether we ended the debate or not. I do agree maybe I don't have enough, and if we took a vote right now and somebody called a question again after me and we all took a vote on this motion, I would abstain, and I'll let you know that because I don't actually feel like I have enough information. I appreciate, Margie, that you gave, you know, your background on it, right? I do feel that, you know, respectfully to the chair that, you know, look out for people when we ask point of information. It's not actually a comment that belongs on the list with everybody else, you know, on the list to give a comment because it really came off like Margie was saying no to it. And then you're telling me that there's actually more to the story, right, which is why I'm like there's no way I think we should even vote on any of this today. Right, like there's a lot more to this than we know from here, right? And I may be for it, but I just know that today there's no way reasonably I can be for or against it just because I don't have enough information. But I just want to remind folks that stuff like this in the future, let's be really clear because it is that we're time sensitive. You know, I think we can extend certain things, but we need to look out on the agenda earlier on and see ahead that we're probably not going to finish or get to something, right? And we got to be fair to everybody who did show up with a motion, whether or not we're going to like it, that it's understood that they're going to be able to present their motion at some point or maybe not, right, if we replace it or table it or something like that.
Point of information, how do we table a motion?
Make a motion to table.
Okay, the list that I have is Sharon, Janet,
I'm
Margie.
Sorry. Okay, I have a point of personal privilege. I cannot continue in this meeting past 4 o'clock, and Barbara and I have to leave. I mean, I have to take Barbara home. I have grandchildren to take care of. I have to begin to leave at 4 p.m.
He just told
us
we all have
to table. Move to table. Can we get a second on that?
Second.
You get to vote. I'm moving to table. Come on.
I second it.
Okay. All in favor of tabling this? All opposed? Abstaining? One.
Point of information.
Yeah.
We've asked the CAB to give a report, and they've been here all day.
Right.
We don't have everybody else. Oh, there was no? Okay, I was just making sure.
No, Robin, come on. Come on, Robin. Robin.
Because they got an event coming up.
Right. No, let her talk.
I just want to suggest that we just have this as our last item.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But understanding that all the other PNB stuff is kind
of. All right. Thanks so much. The Community Advisory Board would like to report a big thank you to the station for allowing us to meet at the Grassroots House. We've actually had community come, which has been very good for our mission, right? And our event, which thank you, Sharon, for announcing it, and we're hoping you guys can come March 26th from 2 to 4 at the South Berkeley Library. And the Community Advisory Board wishes you all the best.
Thank you. Oh, I love it. What a great report. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, everybody. Rich. And I've mailed the KSCF report to everybody, so it's in your email to the closed station board list.
I just want to indicate that I feel badly that we did not get to the issue of privacy because Eileen had asked us. But anyway, okay. I guess we are adjourned. Motion to adjourn. Motion to what? Second. Frank, second? Okay. All in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed. Everybody's voting. Thank you.